Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories. This podcast contains topics that may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. This includes things like domestic violence, sexual assault, and sexuality. They are intended to be educational in nature, but either way, a trigger warning is in place. Listener discretion is advised.
And so he literally was sending me a video message all day long. So he'd wake up and send me a message, like all throughout the day, at night. And this was going on for like several weeks, right? And so, of course, like, it felt like really good. I was like, I really like this person. I liked them before. They're like acting like they're really into me. But the sliding up pussy is a homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm Demi Wilde, your resident sexual deviant. This week I've got a very extra special guest deviant for you today, host of the Ghost Podcast. Rosemary's here.
Hey Demi, so good to see you again.
So good to see you too. Thank you for being here.
I'm excited too.
We had a really fun conversation on your podcast. If you guys haven't heard it yet, definitely go check that out. We talked about ghosting, and I guess this is kind of like a continuation. This is kind of like the part two of that conversation where I told my ghost story, and now you get to share your ghost stories with me. But before we get into that, just be sure to like, share, subscribe. This will be on a video, newly video on Patreon only. So just FYI, it's going to be It's no longer on the YouTube channel, unfortunately. I'm kind of going a different route with YouTube. So just FYI. So Rosemary, while we're here, let's just get started. Where are you from?
Well, I have like a really interesting story, and I won't get into all the details, but I originally grew up in Michigan. After Michigan, I lived in China for 2 years. And then I've been in the Chicago area since 2005. So had that little bit of an international experience. But I started the Ghost Podcast about 2 years ago after coming out of a 12-year relationship and being ghosted and just being like, what is happening? What is this?
When that happened, so you had come out of a 12-year relationship, like that was kind of like your first tip back into the dating pool, was it not? Or like, that's a long time, right?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I had met my ex-husband on OkCupid, which back in the day was before Tinder existed, before swipe culture. Right. And so I feel like OkCupid and dating apps back then, like Match.com, which I was never on, but they were really focused on actually helping you find like your person. Mm-hmm. And then when swipe culture came along, it just completely shifted the way that people use dating apps and how dating apps affect your brain. And I could talk about that topic for a while. So to come back to dating apps and realizing and working through just how completely different that landscape was a little bit of a shock. And the person who ghosted me, it wasn't the first person I had dated, but it was the first person that I really fell for. And in hindsight, I was love bombed. I was really overwhelmed by the way this person treated me and made me feel really special and like really encouraged this really close emotional vulnerability. And I've done so much self-work and self-growth since then to know that that's actually a huge red flag. And that would never happen today. But at the time, I think I was just so unprepared for someone to treat me that way. So it was really painful for me.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think this might be the first time we've mentioned love bombing on this podcast. So give me an idea of like what that looked like for you with this person.
So love bombing is when someone is really over the top in the beginning. And a lot of times they can do really grandiose gestures, like maybe plan a big event or buy you a lot of gifts. In this case, the person wasn't necessarily doing that, but they were encouraging really, really close emotional vulnerability and really pushing me and just really wanted this like immediate closeness, which is not a real closeness, right? Like you can get that close to someone. And really interesting story. So this all happened like 2 years ago. I recently was contacted by another ex of his, and she reached out to me because, well, there's a whole history there of what happened. Like she knew about my podcast, but he kind of lied about what happened. And it turned out he was actually in a long-term relationship and cheating on his partner with multiple women, including me, and ghosting them and love bombing all of them. And he's just a really terrible person. But it was so interesting because 2 years later, this woman came and found my podcast and wanted to let me know what happened. And she had experienced a lot of the same things. Like he had told her he would buy her a car and he wanted to marry her right away. And that's really what's typical of love bombing. And if you're not prepared for it, you don't know about it. It is so hard. And then that breakup or that ghosting can just be so much more intense.
Yeah, completely. I will say devil's advocate. So my favorite game. I, in particular, I'm a little bit of a romantic. I have been known to do kind of like big things from like first meetings with people. Like I think just this past year, I took someone to a Florence and the Machine concert because I had an extra ticket. And like, that was our first date, basically. Like I feel like that's okay just because I'm like kind of a romantic in that way. But I can totally understand how it could be also maybe a turnoff for a lot of people. And maybe like it could be like a little too intense. And some people might just have that kind of burn quickly, fizzle out type dynamic too when they get invested with somebody also.
Yeah. And I think the love bombing part comes in more when someone professes emotions and feelings for you that they can't possibly have in such a short period of time. So I think like taking someone to a concert, you know, maybe that was expensive or something, you know, unusual, maybe just which, but I think that's different than if you were like, I want to marry you like on the first date. Right.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense too. It's not so much like maybe the gesture, but like it's kind of like what you're saying, like it's kind of unfeasible to have that kind of romantic feelings with someone that soon.
Yeah, you don't know them. I mean, I've heard statistics on other dating podcasts I listen to that it can take 3 months to really know someone, and a lot of relationships fall apart at that 3 month because you get to know each other a little bit better, or maybe they sort of get to the next level after that 3 month period. So to tell someone you want to marry them in the first month, or you know, really overwhelm them with compliments and things like that, it's more about, I think, their method and their possibly their own insecurity that they feel they need to project that onto someone when they can't really know that.
Yeah, damn. Let's talk about swipe culture.
That's my favorite topic.
I know we touched on it a bit on our last conversation on your podcast, but when do you think was like the time that you realized that swipe culture had kind of like taken control of like the app scene?
When I started the Ghost podcast, I started it for a couple of reasons. One reason is I wanted to be able to record and share people's stories who've been ghosted. And I just want to clarify, when I say ghosting, I'm talking about the ending of a relationship. I'm not talking about you chat with someone on an app and they disappear. I'm not talking about going on one date with someone and you don't hear from them again. That's just normal dating. I'm talking about where you actually have a relationship, a connection, and then that is severed or ended by someone just disappearing without explanation. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens to you, you don't get a chance to share your side of the story. You don't get a chance to have that conversation, that closure, that ending. And so I found that if I can record people's stories and have them share, they get a lot of closure from that. And it's really helpful to the healing process. So that was one reason I started the podcast. The other reason is I just wanted to understand ghosting. I want to understand, like, why is it so prevalent? Why do people do it? Why? I wanted to hear from people who ghost to hear, like, what's their thought process. And one of the things that I discovered along that journey, which included doing a lot of podcasts, listening to a lot of podcasts, reading a lot of books, is that swipe culture is really what I think is behind a lot of ghosting and other really bad behaviors that we see today. And so I actually did a whole episode on this with a friend of mine, and I researched some statistics and things like that. But I think what people need to keep in mind when they're using dating apps is that dating apps are a $4 billion industry. Mm-hmm. They are invested in keeping you on the apps and keeping you swiping. They do not want you to get a relationship. They do not want you to get off the apps. Their entire design and intention is to gamify the dating experience, to get you hooked, to always think that there's a better option out there. And that's really what Tinder has done. And actually, they've done statistics that there's more single people than ever because the dating apps have created this idea. I think there's a lot of things that's created, but one of them is this unlimited options and that the next best thing is always out there, and this addiction to that swipe culture.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, it's a video game. It's a dopamine hit. And, you know, when you get the attention, that feels good. And then you kind of have to keep feeding the beast and get more attention. Keep going and keep going and keep going. Mm-hmm. It's annoying and it sucks. And it kind of turned our culture into this, I don't know. I feel like we're not as connected as we used to be.
Well, it's so interesting because we're more connected in so many ways than that we ever were, but it's almost it. And one of the YouTube videos I was watching when I was doing research for my episode is that there's some people who say that Tinder has caused the greatest shift in human connections today, because a lot of, you know, and I've had some people on my podcast who were, you know, in their 20s who have only ever dated on dating apps. Like I had someone come on my podcast who was using dating apps in college. And it was so weird to me because I was like, that's the place where you can meet the most people in real life. Like, why are you using a dating app to connect with people? But when you're on a dating app and people aren't real to you, it's like you don't learn how to work through problems necessarily. If something comes up and you think it's like a red flag or toxic trait or whatever you want to say, and something you don't like, people are not working through that. They're just disconnecting, disengaging, ghosting, disappearing, and then going back on the apps. And so it really has shifted the way that people think about connections and relationships. And of course, it's not just dating apps, it's social media in general and just this trend to the online world.
Yeah. What do you think are the biggest, I think we probably had this conversation before, but I just like to reiterate some of the topics that we talked about. What are the biggest like effects that it could have on a person psychologically in your research?
Yeah, well, and this is, you know, these are my thoughts after having a lot of people come on my podcast who've been ghosted. And I also have had numerous other people who don't want to be on the podcast, but have reached out to me with their ghost stories. And I think the worst thing is when people blame themselves and they think they did something wrong and they don't really know what happened or why the person disappeared. And they spend so much time ruminating and thinking, what if, and what if, like, I've had someone, someone who ended up becoming a really good friend of mine. We actually started another podcast together. She has a really crazy ghost story, but she said, you know, a year later, she'd go back and think like, well, was it this dress that I wore this one night? And it just keeps people like wondering and just ruminating forever. And it can just delay that healing process for so long because you don't have that closure. So I think that's one really big side effect. And then I think the other is that you have this cognitive dissonance in your brain, because if you're dating someone and it's going well and you have no indication that there's any issue and they just disappear, you have to reconcile in your brain, like, how could they do that to me? Like, how could that person who could do something like that be the same person that I really liked? And that is really hard to get over when you have that huge disconnect between someone's behavior.
Yeah, I think number one, the other person, the ghoster, makes a unilateral decision. You have no say in it. So it kind of takes away your power in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And then you have this whole other aspect where there's just no end to it. Like, you just have zero, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's like you just found out the Santa Claus doesn't exist anymore. Or like, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like that thing analogy. Where, like, you just your mind frame is shattered. Like, it just doesn't make sense to you anymore. It sucks.
It does suck. It's so cruel. And I think a lot of people who do it, I don't know, I've kind of come to the realization, I think there's a couple different kinds of people who go. So I think by far the most prevalent reason people ghost is that they're just immature. and they lack emotional empathy to understand how that type of action would make someone else feel. And I've had people say that men ghost more, women ghost more, different ages ghost more. I don't think so. I've seen it all over the place. I've seen men ghosted, women ghosted, people in their 50s, 60s have come on the podcast, people in their 20s. I just think it really is the emotional intelligence of that person and where they're at. And, you know, in their mind, if they're kind of at this less emotionally mature level, they might actually think that they're being nice to someone by just like disappearing instead of telling them what they don't like about them. So I think that's the most common. I think the second most common is avoidance. I did a whole podcast on avoidance with Ken Reed, which is one of my favorite episodes. And I've had experience with an avoidant who ghosted me, which I want to tell you that story. But I think people, again, it kind of goes back to that emotional maturity, but even deeper than that, that they just have this really deep-seated attachment issues with avoidancy, and they just don't have the capability, really. It's not even like if they want, even if they could, they can't do it. Or even if they wanted to, they just don't have the emotional depth to deal with breakups or telling people how they feel. And then the last category is, I think, people like narcissists who actually enjoy treating people that way. And I think it's rare, but I have had a couple people come on the podcast where I really think that was the case, where the person was narcissist, a true narcissist, and they did it almost on purpose, and they almost kind of get off on that type of treatment. And it's like this narcissistic cycle of a lot of them are love bombers, and then they withdraw, and then they love bomb, and then they withdraw.
Yeah, that's crazy. You mentioned avoidant, and I actually wrote down attachment theory. So like, do you know a bit about this? I think a lot of people kind of know the basics of it, like the three basically, I think it's three: avoidance, anxious,
secure.
Secure. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also disorganized, which means you're not really any of them, but.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it's four then. But yeah, so like, I feel like a lot of like people who might be have an avoidant attachment style, or people who have an anxious attachment style, like a lot of anxious people, I think, might have issues with feelings of worthiness. And so therefore they just kind of like shut down. That might be a thing as well, but definitely avoidant. Avoidant is probably the most prevalent of them all, because I think just we're all kind of avoidant. I kind of, myself personally, I think I shift between somewhere between like normal and anxious. I'm like somewhere between. I fluctuate.
What's really interesting about attachment styles is they can be different based on the person you're talking about. So you can have a secure attachment style with a best friend or past partners, but you could meet someone who could make you anxious or make you avoidant. So they're not static, and they're fluid, and they're things that you can change and work on all the time.
Yeah, that's good. What are some like tips that you have with like dealing with ghosting?
So my biggest tip is something that I feel a little bit conflicted saying as a tip, because I feel like it's something that you hear all the time, and it's something that's really hard to get to. And I think that is this concept of self-worth and knowing your own self-worth. And it's, I feel like it's this kind of like hard thing. Like, how do I get my own self-worth? And be strong enough so that when someone ghosts me, like I'm not affected by it. And I think it's just something you have to do a lot of work on yourself. And that's something I've done a lot in the last few years. But I think that if you can have that self-worth of yourself, which is the dating advice you hear in any type of dating situation, is know your own worth, know what makes you happy. I think that first of all, you'll be able to spot red flags like way sooner. So you'll know like a love bomber. You'll have indications if it's an avoidant, because an avoidant will start to withdraw and back away. And that'll be an indication to you. And you'll have that self-worth to not pursue that, because that'll generally end up like in them ghosting or breaking up with you when they start that withdrawal period. You will feel much better about yourself when you do get ghosted, which will happen. I still get ghosted. I actually had a no-show ghost happen a couple months ago, which was crazy. No indication or warning at all. I actually went to the date and the person didn't show up, even though they'd been texting me that very day. But when that happens, you're not going to feel bad about yourself. I actually am at the point where I feel bad for the other person. I was like, I feel so sorry for this person who literally couldn't show up, was reading my text messages asking like, are you still coming? And just couldn't reply. Like, what is their issue? Like, that is a serious issue. If that's the place that they're in.
Bizarre behavior.
Yeah.
Like, in yeah. no way in respect is that okay.
Right. And, you know, if and when I do get ghosted, I do not feel any rumination or thoughts about something I did or could have done differently. I just feel completely it's that person. It's they have problems. I dodged a bullet and I feel sorry for them, honestly. So I think those are my biggest tips, is to really work on yourself. And again, this is not new advice. You hear this in anything you hear about dating. Know what makes you happy. Only pursue those things that make you happy. So that'll really help you spot those red flags and then also help you have that recovery when you get ghosted.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's yeah, I had a thought and it's gone already.
That happens to me all the time.
Like I said, I've gotten very little sleep last night. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I know we got some ghost stories to tell. And we're back. All right. I think it's story time.
I love story time. So do you want me to tell you a ghost right story? On. So,
yep. Mm-hmm.
So the ghost story I have that I started the podcast about, I'm not going to talk about that one. That one you can find on my podcast. It is the second episode. It's called Rosemary. So if anyone wants to listen to that, it's so weird because, like I mentioned earlier, I've done so much self-work and self-growth since that happened. I feel like I'm not even the same person that I was when that happened. Mm. But I did want to share another ghost story that happened to me that I haven't really talked about on my podcast. I did do an episode about it after it happened, but it was still like very raw for me. And it took me a while to get over this incident. And so I ended up taking it down because I just wasn't ready to have it out there in the world. This incident, this ghosting incident that happened to me again, if I met that person today, it would not have happened. But it's one of those things where in the 3 years that I've been single, this was like the person that I liked the most, that I felt like that instant chemistry with, that I just really was like crazy about, right? Which is not good. It's not good to feel that way about someone, especially with all the red flags that I knew, but it was something that affected me a lot, and I'm to the point where I don't really think about it anymore, but it did take me a while to get there. So this person I had met on a dating app, and I think it was November of 2021 is when we had matched. And it was so weird how we matched, because I live about 40 miles north of Chicago, and he actually lived about 40 or 50 miles south of Chicago. And so like, we weren't even in each other's like ranges. So it's really weird how we matched. So anyways, we matched, and then it was like around Thanksgiving. And so I had found out that he wasn't living here anymore. He was, he had moved to Miami like a year ago. So he was in town visiting family, but he was still coming into town like pretty frequently because he still had a house here and family here and things like that. So, anyways, we dated. You know, we chatted, we ended up meeting in person about 4 times. You know, it was pretty frequent that we were in touch, for maybe like 3 months or so. And then this guy is just such a classic avoidant. Like if you listen to my avoidant episode, everything in that podcast describes this guy. He had a lot of trauma in his past, just had a lot of, you know, inability and lack of dealing with anything at an emotional level. So, he started withdrawal. He started to do that withdrawal thing that avoidants do. And so I sensed that, and I was like, I'm not going to like chase this guy. And so I basically told him, look, I don't really think that this is going anywhere, and, you know, I want to end it or whatever. And he was just like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. You know, he just was like, I agree, or something like that. So, but I didn't stop thinking about him because I was like so attracted to him. And so, you know, a couple of months went by. So I think we had ended things in like January, and then I was traveling out of the country. I was in Turkey, and I think it was July. So it was January, July, so like, you know, 6-7 months later, I reached out to him, and I honestly didn't think he would respond at all, but he did respond. And we just started this like super intense connection, like started right back up. But it was even more intense than the first time because we were using video messaging. So we were using Marco Polo. And so he literally was sending me a video message all day long. So he would wake up and send me a message like all throughout the day, at night. And this was going on for like several weeks, right? And so of course, like, it felt like really good. I was like, I really like this person. I liked them before. They're like acting like they're really into me. And he was living, at that point, he was living in Key West. Mm-hmm. And so at some point while we're, you know, having all these conversations and talking so frequently, he asked me to come and visit him. And so I kind of knew, just again, knowing him and knowing he wasn't like the best person, that probably nothing was going to really come of that, you know, like it wasn't going to turn into a relationship. Like at no point did I ever think this would be like my person, a partner for me, like a relationship, but, you know, I just wanted to like be with him because I just liked him so much. And so I agreed to go visit him. And part of me too, is I just wanted to see what would happen. I heard it on a Girls Gotta Eat podcast where they had said, if there's that one person that you still think about and they come back, you should always go for it just to see. Cause like probably the same things that happened the first time around are what's gonna make it not work out the second time. But it just, you always are gonna wonder, right? Like if you don't go see.
You gotta get the verification of like what the fuck went wrong.
Right. So I went down and visited him. And we had an incredible weekend. It was amazing. It was just a great weekend. We had a great time, treated me really well. And when I got back home, I had asked him, you know, would you like to try to get together every so often? So one of the things we always talked about when we were in touch was about traveling. So I travel a lot. I travel to work every other week. I travel for fun all the time. So like traveling is really important to me, and same thing for him, right? He said the same thing. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, we both like to travel. Why would it be more fun to just like go places together, right? And like see each other. And I could go down to Miami and see him sometimes, or he could come here. Like, again, we'd already talked about how this wouldn't be like a serious relationship. So there wasn't ever an expectation of that. And so I asked him if he would be interested in that. And he basically came back and said, no, I'm not interested in that. Like we tried that before, it didn't work. And I was just like, I was like in shock. So I was like, why did you spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking to me every day, all day? I come down and visit you. And then you're like, yeah, we don't really need to see each other again. And so I kind of came back and just better defined, like, what did I really mean about seeing each other? And this is my expectation. And he never really answered that. And then he essentially just ghosted me. He just stopped responding to me. I had asked him specifically about taking another trip. And I think that was just because, again, he's an avoidant. And that was just like really overwhelming for him to think about any type of commitment or any future plans. And yeah, he just disappeared, completely ghosted me, never heard from him again. This is about a year ago. So, because early August is when I had gone to see him. And then like by September, mid-September is really the last time I ever heard from him. So yeah, that's one of my ghost stories.
You know, it sounds like, just from pure observation, it sounds like he kind of got what he wanted. And then like just did, when you kind of confront him with the idea of progressing to something more, that was when the walls went up. So yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down some really funny red flags about him.
Yes, please.
Because when I keep saying like, I know he wasn't my person or like an actual good partner. So they're on my phone. So I'm looking down. So these are funny. So one of the things he said to me at one point is that he was born knowing how to cook and how to drive.
No. No, no, you were not.
Yeah, he was serious.
No, you were not. That is physically impossible.
I know. He thinks he's special. Number two, he had a Louis Vuitton wallet.
Why was that a red flag?
I don't know. Just thought it was weird.
Louis Vuitton is very 2004. My mind goes. It's not a current kind of thing.
I just thought it was funny that like how expensive those are, and it was like a little teeny one. I was like, why did you spend money on this?
Management of money, got it.
Yes. Okay, so this is a really big one, and this is one I should have known before I even went to visit him. So when I went down to Key West, I couldn't stay at his place. Like housing in Key West is really crazy. He had told me the whole story. He essentially had like a roommate He wasn't allowed to have guests, whatever. So we got, I got a hotel. He didn't offer to pay for it at all. He didn't offer to pay half. And we had all these conversations about like which hotel, whatever. Hotels in Key West are really expensive. I mean, you're talking like $500 a night, right? And it was like bothering me. So I asked him, I was like, are you planning to pay for half the hotel? Like, I'm assuming you're staying with me, right? And he was like, no, I wasn't planning on it. So this is why he has the nickname Trashy. Like me and all my friends, we call him Trashy. That's his nickname. Actually, Trashy J, because his first name starts with a J. Yeah.
Men, do better. Do better. Yes. Like, what is wrong with you?
I mean, Trashy is such a good nickname for him. Like his nickname is Trashy because his behavior was so trash. But it's funny because he was such a cliche as well. Like just the way he looked, and he lives in Key West. Like, have you been to Key West? It's like
Florida. The most cliche That's place another I've red ever flag. Been.
Yes. All of the whole state of Florida, worst state in the country. I hate Florida. But Key West itself is like Margaritaville. Like, it's just such a cliche. I'm like, who would choose to live here?
Side note, I went to my first Margaritaville at Universal Studios like maybe a month ago. Like, we went to the Barbie movie and like went to get margaritas at Margaritaville. It was a vibe. The margaritas were good. We're good. I enjoyed the margaritas there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's like a different thing to go there, but to like choose to live there. Okay, this one's really good. He had the exact same tattoo. I'm talking about the same tattoo, like the same picture, four different times in four different places.
Well, he had the same exact tattoo four times on his body. In different sizes?
They're all about the same.
Where were they located and what was it?
Okay, so it was a heart. It was like an anatomical heart, and he had like three of them like on his chest and then one on his back.
So not any like particular design or anything, just stamped on?
Yeah, basically. Places. Yeah.
What? Bad tattoos. No, red flag.
I know. It's like, and you can't really see in the video. I mean, I'm like almost completely covered in tattoos. But mine is pretty unique and interesting and cool. I'm like, I can just picture him being like, what should I get? Let me just get the same thing I already have again.
I really like this thing. Time. I'm going to get it four times.
The fourth time. Yeah. And then lastly, I mean, I think this is probably something that's pretty common with avoidance. I think it was just kind of very much like a Peter Pan syndrome. And that is an avoidant thing. So he was a little bit younger than me, not like a couple years younger than me. So like he's in his late 30s. And he was just someone who I think was really stuck in his 20s. Like he would show me pictures of himself like in his 20s, like more than once. And just kind of this, like, I'm never going to grow up. I'm, you know, I, in his mind, you could tell he still thinks like he looks and acts like he is that age, which he's not. And one more red flag around that is he didn't have any social media. You can tell me if you think this is a red flag. So he didn't have any social media at all, but he had Snapchat. And I just was like, that's really weird to me to be like in your late 30s and you have Snapchat, but nothing else.
That's weird. I feel like you don't have a digital imprint, and you have the only thing you have is something that could be easily deleted or made a secret.
Yeah. Well, and everybody knows what Snapchat's for. So
for nasty videos.
Yeah. It's or, you know, for cheating or, you know, it's
or not for 12-year-olds. Real
connections. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, looking back, there were so many red flags. Like, I don't know. All I can say is we've all been there with that person who you just couldn't think straight around them. But that, you know, again, if I met him today at like a lot of those things in the beginning, I would have just stopped it. And I would have not been in the same place that I was. I kind of met him like right when I was starting a lot of my healing journey.
Well, and you know what, people come into your life at a certain time in order to teach you certain things. I'm a full believer in that myself. It's, you know, hindsight's always 2020. You start realizing the things that you should have known while you were in the middle of it after the fact, unfortunately. That's just how it works. And it's kind of just about reframing it. You know, if someone ghosts you, then that means that they did you a favor. You dodged a bullet. Like, you know, if someone didn't want to spend as much energy as it takes to just, you know, confirm with you what was going on, then they're not worth your time.
Right. Yeah. They can't even send you a text, you know, or something that's even so like minimal or low effort. It definitely, you're dodging a bullet for sure, which is, it's so hard to hear that in the moment. Cause if you do, like, I don't want to delegitimize the grief you feel when someone ghosts you. Right. It is a loss. I've actually had several people on the podcast who had really, really intense online relationships with people they never met. And one guy actually recently came on the podcast. He's this disabled man in his early 30s from Germany who had this relationship with this woman from Texas. They met in an online game forum, really, really intense. They would game all day, talk all day for months and months and months. And she ghosted him and he was so devastated. Mm. And, you know, that is even though they never met, it is a loss when you have that type of intense connection with someone. And almost like I said earlier, that loss and that grief can even be worse. So I don't want anyone to feel like they shouldn't be upset or sad or angry about being ghosted, because it is a really difficult thing to go through.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you gave me some red flags. I have some red flags for you. Do you want to play a little game with me?
I do.
Okay, so this is red flags. Basically, I'm going to give you a situation. You're going to tell me if it's a red flag for you or not, okay?
Okay.
Sound fair? Let's go. Number one, they are a people pleaser.
Oh, red flag. So is this a red flag or deal breaker, or is this just red flag?
It's red flag. It could be a yellow flag. It could be a green flag.
That's a red flag for me, because specifically that's my ex-husband was like that. And I just know that person's not a good fit for me because I'm not like that. And it really... it's just a characteristic I don't like.
Wait, why? Why don't you like a people pleaser?
To him, it was so extreme, where he would just do things that he didn't want to do, but then he'd be really passive aggressive about it and like sighs and eye rolls. And I'm just like, you don't ever stand up for yourself or take a stand in what you believe in. You'll always just want to make everybody else happy and overlook your own needs. And so for me, that's like the aspect of people pleasing that it's hard for me to relate to, because I'm not like that. I'm not a people pleaser.
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm a recovering people pleaser. I used to do a lot for other people, but I'm much better with it now. I don't think I was ever like the needy type. I think there's definitely a neediness to it that I think psychologically people are affected by. But for me, I don't think I was quite as needy as, say, some people.
Yeah.
All right. They haven't talked to you in 3 days.
That's not a red flag to me. It used to be. And I know this is like a hot topic on the dating podcast and things like that. I think her name is Sabrina Zohar. She is a really great dating coach to follow on social. And she actually talks about this all the time, is like, you can't measure someone's interest in you by how frequently they text you when you're strangers. And so right. That's actually something I've had to dial back a lot, because I used to think that was a big deal. And now I don't. I take that with a grain of salt. It's more someone's actions. Have they planned a date with me? Do they show interest when they are in communication with you? And that's way more important to me than like how frequently they're in touch.
Mm, yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. Number three, okay, this is a personal one. This is very personal. They get visibly angry at slow walkers.
Oh man, that's a hard one, because that is so irritating. But you don't want to, like, I guess, are they saying something to the slow walker, or they're just like complaining about it?
They're just Napoleon Dynamite. Just
Yeah. I would want to keep an eye on that. I would want to see, are they like that in other situations?
I will say a little bit of my soul dies when I'm stuck behind a slow walker.
Yeah.
I'm not visibly angry, but a little bit of my soul does die, and I need to get around them as soon as possible.
Right.
All right. Now here's some sexy ones. They give you the fish hook during sex.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
like a reach around,
like literally in your mouth.
Yeah. It could be one or two fingers, you know. It's just, you know.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had anybody do that to me, so I don't know. Maybe I'm into it.
Have you ever had someone just like cover your mouth like while they're behind you or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, this is some sort of like weird kink I haven't heard of with fish hook.
I think it's just a thing that happens in the moment. I'm not sure if it's a kink, but like, I think it's just a thing that happens in the moment. It's maybe happened to me like once.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if it meant something else, right? Like, no. So I was like, my mind went to a lot of different places. No,
it's just finger in the mouth.
Okay. I would have to know, like, I'd have to be in the moment to know if that would be a red flag or not.
Right. And if it's not, just like politely, no, thank you.
It's like unhook.
Last one, they're into slapping.
I'm into a little bit of slapping. Like, especially with like the flogs, like those kind of gentle flogs, those are okay. So yeah, I wouldn't say that's a red flag, but it kind of depends on, again, the moment and what else is going on and how I feel in the moment. I think if you feel really safe with someone, like there's a lot of things you can do, but if you don't feel like you can be safe with someone, it's, you know, the situation would depend on that.
Yeah. There was one instance where I was having sex with like just a hookup. Like this is maybe like a couple years ago, but like he hit me pretty hard. He like slapped me pretty hard. And I was like, oh no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I don't think I would like that either. I definitely don't like it super hard. So, and especially if it was, yeah, kind of just out of the blue without them asking you first.
Yeah, nothing on the face. You know, you have to ask consent. It just wasn't, it just didn't feel right. It wasn't a positive experience for me. Well, that's all I had. Rosemary, where can my listeners find you?
You can find my podcast at theghostpodcast.com, also on any podcast platform, and all the links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of those are on my website. If you would like to be on my podcast, or you have a ghost story to share, or you know someone who does, you can find me on Instagram at theghostpodcaststories. You can send me an email at theghostpodcaststories@gmail.com. And I'm also on TikTok at theghostpodcast.
Ta-da! Thank you again for being here, Rosemary.
Thank you. This was so fun. It's so good to see you again.
So good to see you too. Thanks again.
Thank you.
A very special thank you to my guests for joining me in this week's episode. Check out the episode description for all of their information. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It'll really help out the show. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel for video versions of this show and other content. You will find my blogs, The Deviant Diaries, and A Deviant's Guide to Sex, show notes, articles used, and Book of Horror Stories official merch on my website at DimitriWild.com. You can also purchase both of my poetry books, Bitter Blue Pill, and All Was Nothing in the Time of Champions from Amazon.com. Just search for Dimitri Wild. Oh, one last thing. Thank you for listening. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional. So just do it.